Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and the NFL Combine on 102.5, the game, presented by the new Cumberland.com, Nashville's resort-style community, overlooking downtown on the Cumberland. Go to their website at thenewcumberland.com, and Boomba's, go try their award-winning pizzas at one of their locations in East Nashville, Spring Hill, and Murfreesboro. Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. Eat, drink, watch. So, boy, yesterday I awoke to the terrible news Ian had sent me via Adam Schefter about the stress reaction in the foot of Abdul Carter. And I followed that like crazy. And the two words Ian sent with the text message about the Schefter tweet, oh no. And I felt that to my core. All week, I wanted to take Abdul Carter with the number one overall pick. Then I found out that news, and I was skeptical. And yesterday, all I heard was, it's not a big deal. And this morning, I went on Robbie and Joe, and I got yelled at. It's not a big deal, Jared. It's a stress reaction. It's not even a stress fracture. Drew Rosenhaus told us it's not even a stress fracture. Uh-huh. Okay. And so I thought, am I being too hard when it comes to the stress reaction with Abdul Carter? Or should I take him off the board? If I were the Titans, would I take him off the board? If you're watching the stream, you'll see I have something in my hand. Ian, can you see it? Putting it up here right there.
Yeah, it looks like a stopwatch of some sort.
It's a stopwatch. You want to tell the people what it says on the back right there?
Oh, it's a little FR.
This is Floyd's stopwatch. Sally gave this to me after he passed. At first, I wasn't totally sure when she was like, I want you to have his stopwatch. I didn't totally understand. I'm like, what do you mean a stopwatch? But I figured out how it works. It's very easy. One click right here. One click right here. 1.6. This was his stopwatch. Combine, pro day, 40. Three cone, this was how he tracked it. He didn't worry about what the school said the guy ran. He did it himself. And again, that's how I was raised. And the way I was raised was, if Abdul Carter, as of right now, there's still a private workout that can be done. There is still a medical recheck that Abdul Carter can have. And there is still his pro day. But if I was general manager of the Tennessee Titans, Abdul Carter, as of right now, would be off the board. I can already hear, oh, it'll be fine, Jared. It might be. But taking an injured player with the first overall pick is just not something that I believe in. It's just not something that I was taught. It's football. Guys are going to get hurt. I get that. But right now, we're talking about making the active choice to draft a guy who is currently hurt versus other guys who are not hurt. And that is not a hard choice for me. We did this show with Floyd every day for 5 years. The amount of things that we've soaked up, the life lessons, the football lessons that we've regurgitated, that people have ignored over the years, don't you think there might be something to the wisdom? Think of all the things over the last couple of years that have really held true of what Floyd taught all of us. The right tackle story. Don't we think that there's some truth in that one? How about taking a guard in the top 10, forcing yourself into a draft pick because you ignored the position in free agency? Goodbye, Brock Bowers. Defensive linemen being judged on sacks. Oh, Jared, you don't understand. ESPN's net win rate says Jadeveon Clowney is as good as Joey Bosa. Uh-huh. And there's the story I love to tell about taking players you don't believe in. Floyd drafted Eddie George in the first round in 1996. He drafted Bryant Mix, a defensive tackle in the second round in the same draft, 96. He didn't like Bryant Mix. But all the coaches and all the scouts liked him, and he figured there must be something I'm not seeing. So let's take him. He was a bust. And I can go on and on about all these stories about times that, you know, Floyd said this. And every time, oh no, it'll be fine, Jared. And it almost never is. I spent all year arguing about the right tackle position. And you guys kept telling me, Bill Callahan will fix it. And PT, you'll see. Okay. I remember when they took Peter Skoronski and Rand Carthon said, roll the dice, play the board. Roll the dice, play the board. And I'm like, yeah, the old man said, if you take a guard that high, he better go right to the Hall of Fame. And I know there are exceptions to the rules. And we'll get to those exceptions in a little bit. But if you have values that you truly believe in, you don't deviate from them just because you want a possibility to be true. In all of these cases, you're playing the odds. And look, Floyd was not right when he was general manager 100% of the time. Because nobody is right 100% of the time. And a broken clock is right twice a day. But when Floyd was the general manager of the Titans, he was right enough of the time. It wasn't an accident that the Titans did all that winning when he was GM, or that he's in the team's ring of honor, that they went to the playoffs in 4 out of 5 seasons and made 2 AFC title games. It wasn't an accident that when he left, the roster was stable enough for Jeff Fisher to go 23-10 over 2 seasons and make the playoffs because of Floyd's players. And when Floyd's players, Albert Haynesworth, Keith Bullock, Kyle Vandenbosch, Kevin McWide, Benji Olsen, etc., started leaving the team, all of a sudden, with Jeff Fisher running the ship, it went right down the toilet. So that's how I was raised. And the way I was raised would prevent you from having Jeffrey Simmons. You would not have drafted. If Floyd Reese was the general manager of the Tennessee Titans in 2019, you would not have Jeffrey Simmons. But it also would have kept you away from Julio Jones, Legarius Sneed, Corey Davis, and Caleb Farley. And so for everyone that says, well, we took Jeffrey Simmons, and look how that worked out, Jared, ask yourself this. Would you trade Jeffrey Simmons right now for 2 first-rounders, a second-rounder, and a third-rounder? Because that's what everyone else costs. And that's before we even get to the money. Like the money that was spent on Julio Jones and the money that was spent on Legarius Sneed. And that's a really big deal because that's a lot of money. And it's a really big deal if you especially believe in the phony cap. But again, I was wrong about this. It wasn't 2 first rounders, a second rounder, and a third rounder. It was 2 first rounders, a second rounder, a third rounder, and a fourth rounder. Because it was a second and a fourth for Julio Jones. It was the 5th overall pick for Corey Davis. It was a first-round pick on Caleb Farley. It was a third-round pick on Legarius Sneed. So while you wouldn't have Jeffrey Simmons, you'd have 2 first-rounders. You'd have a second-rounder, a third-rounder, and a fourth-rounder. Would you trade that for Simmons? So when it comes to Abdul Carter, 2 injuries. A shoulder, a foot. No workout at the combine. A stress reaction, according to his agent. It could be a stress fracture. Again, there is not a binary difference. It could be, oh, no, it's just a reaction. Well, we think it's a fracture. And now we have to wait and see. If Floyd Reese was the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, Abdul Carter would be off the board if he did not work out, period. And a lot of times I do not feel comfortable saying, Floyd would say, because there were a lot of times when we did the show together where I thought he would think one thing and he thought something totally different. But the not working out at the combine and at pro day or on a private workout, that was a non-negotiable, period. And I can't back off of, again, the values that I believe in, the values that I know work, the values that worked when the guy who was running the team had them. I can't back off of that because you're going to say, oh, that'll be fine. Oh, that'll be fine. That wasn't how Floyd Reese operated. That was how Rand Carthon operated. You don't have a right tackle. Oh, it'll be fine. Legarius Sneed has bad knees. Oh, it'll be fine. Trade the pick. J.C. Latham's never played left tackle before. It'll be fine. And look, Tavondre Sweat, it looks like he's going to be a good run-stuffing DT. He didn't get in trouble his first year. I don't think he got too fat. He played a bunch of snaps. Great. But again, when you just take risks and take risk and take risk and take risk, yeah, you might hit a homer in Jeffrey Simmons. But what about all the other times? What about Corey Davis? What about Caleb Farley? What about Julio Jones? What about Legarius Sneed? And so I just don't believe in that. And no matter how much you tell me it'll be fine, that's not going to change my opinion. Just like the entire offseason last year, everybody told me it'd be fine. The coach told me it'd be fine. Everybody told me it'd be fine that they didn't have a right tackle. People told me that I interpreted what Floyd said incorrectly, even though I was the only person there and knew exactly what he meant. When he said, we don't have a right tackle. So I'm not backing off of the values with which I believe in. And when I look at this stopwatch, again, his stopwatch, that timed guys, you may think the 40 doesn't matter. I'm telling you, this guy thought the 40 mattered. So it matters to me. I can't move off my values. I know that way works. And it'll cost you Randy Moss. And it'll cost you Jeffrey Simmons. But it'll keep you from making a lot of mistakes. So as of right now, guy with two injuries, including a stress reaction, could be a fracture in his foot, hasn't worked out. Who knows if it'll work out at his pro day. As of right now, he's off the board. And you cannot convince me otherwise. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And there's a lesson to be learned from this that I was thinking about this morning when I was on Robbie and Rex Road about, again, probably one of the decisions that everybody around here just laments, that the old man never second-guessed. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game.
The information we have, Jared, again, you have to keep put things in proper context. It's a stress reaction. This is not a Jones fracture. It's not a Lisfranc fracture. It's not
who's
a
giving us
broken
the information
metatarsal.
We have.
Oh, okay. Oh, Rosenhaus. I see. That's right. The panic meter does rely on conspiracy theories. I forgot about that.
I had a former general manager yesterday I was texting with who told me, because I'm like, well, Carter says they say that he's going to do the pro day. And again, that's another thing. Joe's like, I don't think he needs to do the pro day. I am telling you, Joe, there is no gray area on this. If he did not work out at the combine, which he didn't, and if he did not do the pro day or a private workout for Floyd Reese would not draft Abdul Carter. Like, he would not draft him. And he would be fine. If Abdul Carter went on to be a Hall of Famer, he'd be fine with it. They didn't draft
okay,
Randy
well,
Moss
he shouldn't
because of
be.
All the
No one should be fine
issues.
With that.
He didn't draft Randy Moss because of all the off-the-field issues that Randy Moss had, which
you're,
are well
You're really, you're really yeah, detailing some great decisions here. You got more?
That was Joe this morning. And, boy, Titan fans, they really lament the decision not to take Randy Moss. And I was thinking about that. And, again, the standards. I said, look, if Abdul Carter does not work out, if he does not work out at the combine, which he didn't, if he does not work out at pro day, if he does not do a private workout for the Titans, the old man's not drafting him. Again, I'm not making this up. I wish I had the cut, you know, where he would talk about this, but Ian, you lived through this. He's not drafting Abdul Carter if he doesn't work out.
Not first overall, no.
He's just not drafting him.
He might not draft him. Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't do some of the drills, he will be pushed down the board so much where he'll just be out of range.
I mean, like, I'm telling you right now, he might not draft him in the fourth round if he doesn't do any workouts. Like, that is what we live through. So I know what the standards are. And I go back to the Randy Moss thing. And again, all Joe knows is Randy Moss had a Hall of Fame career and Kevin Dyson didn't. Bad decision! And maybe I was just too young or too contrarian when we discussed this on the old Jared and the GM program. But Floyd never once regretted the decision to pass on Randy Moss. And I've been talking all week about the core values of which I believe you have to have in order to build a football team. Again, just like the right tackle story. Just like the not taking guards in the first round. And Randy Moss and the Titans' decision to pass on him, I actually think is a great example of this. As everybody knows, the Titans, I guess at the time, the Oilers, the Tennessee Oilers had the 16th overall pick in the 98 draft. And they chose Kevin Dyson. With the 21st pick, Minnesota took Randy Moss. And again, Floyd never regretted the decision. And you want to know why he never regretted the decision? Because Randy Moss was littered with red flag after red flag. They made a documentary about this. He was sentenced to jail in high school and dropped by Notre Dame. He went to Florida State where he violated his probation and was kicked off the team. He transferred to Marshall and he skipped the combine. The standards of which you had to meet in order to be on Floyd's team were not passed by Randy Moss. And many of you might say, well, that was a horrendous decision. That was terrible. How could you pass on Randy Moss? Again, Randy Moss went with the 21st pick. The Titans aren't the only team that passed on Randy Moss because of the red flags. But again, was it a blunder to pass on Randy Moss? The Titans went to the Super Bowl in 1999. They had the best team in the NFL in 2000. They were in the AFC title game in 2002, and they had the league MVP, and they were in the playoffs in 2003. Minnesota had a good team, too. They got to an NFC title game. I think they got to two. I think they lost to the Giants in 2000, and they got to the one that Gary Anderson missed the kick in 98. But they never made it to the Super Bowl. And the reason that I understand in hindsight why he never regretted the decision to pass on Randy Moss is because, again, those standards are the same standards that produced this run of first-round picks. Steve McNair, Eddie George, Kenny Holmes, Kevin Dyson, Javon Kurse, Keith Bullock, and Albert Haynesworth. I'd say that was a pretty good run. If you want all those players and you want Randy Moss, now you're just being greedy. Now you're just saying, okay, well, I didn't like the fact that we hit on almost every first round pick. So now I want to make sure we hit on every single one no matter what. But that's not how this works, because nobody is right 100% of the time. And so I asked Floyd one time when Randy Moss was going into the Hall of Fame if we could do a segment where we talked about why he chose not to take Randy Moss. Because, again, the Titans searched forever to try to find a great wide receiver. They had Derek, who was very good. Man, Derek and Randy Moss on the same team in their heyday would have been something. But he said to me, I'd rather us not do that topic. And Floyd really didn't go back and say, you know, oh, no, I don't, you know, let's not do this topic. He very rarely said that, but that was one time that he said, like, hey, let's not necessarily do this. And I said, why not? And he said, because he and Randy were friends when Randy was with the Patriots and he was with the Patriots, they were friends. They became friends. He said, but there's a lot of bad stuff Randy did, and I don't want to talk about it. And when you go and look up Randy Moss's Wikipedia page, I thought about copy and pasting it just to tell you about all the red flags that were in there. And then I was like, I'm not going to get up here and read out Randy Moss's rap sheet from when he was 17 years old. Although we did at that one time read out Jackrabbit Jenkins' rap sheet, and people were laughing. Somebody in the YouTube chat says, Jared needs to move off the Floyd stuff. It was years ago. And it shows how terrible this franchise is. Brother, my kid's middle name is Reese. If you think I'm moving off the Floyd stuff, you're out of your mind. And here's the other thing, too. For everybody out there that's like, oh, yeah, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to. Maybe if you just did things right, like got a right tackle or understood don't take injured players and don't trade third round draft choices and give $20 million contracts to all these players? Like maybe if you just did those things, I wouldn't have to give you a lecture about the things that he did and he believed in. But everybody here, you just traded for L'Jarius Sneed. I went through an entire year of people saying, L'Jarius Sneed's not an injury risk. He didn't miss any games in Kansas City. Because again, what you've done is not, when it comes to injuries and projection, is not necessarily what's going to happen going forward. And it's not like Sneed had a freak injury. It was the knee. Kansas City knew, yeah, we can't invest in this knee. But you said, it'll be fine. He didn't miss games in Kansas City. It'll be fine. This morning, Robbie Stanley, Carter doesn't miss games at Penn State. We had that excuse last year. And you were wrong, and I was right. Right tackle, you were wrong, I was right. The guard with the 11th overall pick, you were wrong, I was right. So, I mean, give me a break. You guys just, oh, we don't want to hear about this stuff. I'm telling you what you need to do to have a good team, and every time, I don't know what I'm talking about, but Rand Carthon, let Rand cook, baby! Give me a break. You have to have standards in life. And this isn't just about football. This is really about all things. You have to have standards. You have to set expectations, and you have to have standards. And then you have to hold everybody, including yourself, accountable to those standards. Randy Moss coming out did not meet those standards. And if you had just changed the rules for Randy, now all of a sudden you're going to change the rules for everyone. Bill Parcells used to always say, if you draft an exception, pretty soon you will have a team full of exceptions. When it comes to Abdul Carter, you're asking me to make an exception. Well, it's not that bad. Uh-huh. Let's get to your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game. Fireball Whiskey, let me tell you, that sets the standard. If somebody wants to order up a shot and they want to order up one of those cinnamon liqueurs, get that away. I want a real cinnamon whiskey. That's right. I want a real cinnamon whiskey that goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. And the way to get there is with ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I love it. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
I don't think it'll ultimately affect his draft status, but the idea that it's just not concerning at all for teams, I don't think that's factual because any big guys, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, players who heavily leverage below the waist, if there's a foot issue, teams take that very, very seriously because that's often, if you want to talk about like the history of injuries, foot injuries are often the ones that either linger, crop up again, and then ultimately eventually end careers if they are of the variety where it's chronic, where it's recurring.
That was Charles Robinson yesterday saying, yeah, I think teams are taking this news pretty seriously when it comes to Abdul Carter. And again, if you draft a guy with two injuries, you're drafting for exception. If you draft for exception, as Bill Parcells used to say, pretty soon you'll have a team full of exceptions. Let's go to your phones as promised, Ian, unless you have a thought.
Phones are good.
Phones driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam has been waiting very patiently and is up next here on the program. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just curious on where you're going to go from here. You're taking Abdul Carter off the board. Where do you go?
So if I can't trade out of the pick?
Yes.
Okay. So if I can't trade out of the pick, then for me at number one, thank you, Adam, for me at number one, it would be between two people. It would be between Cam Ward or Travis Hunter. Now, I'm not a huge Cam Ward guy. I do see first-round talent in Cam Ward, and I do think somebody will trade up to number one and will take Cam Ward. I mean, if I had to go to war with Cam Ward, I could. I do not foresee Cam Ward being a good enough player to beat the best quarterbacks in the AFC. I think he does everything well. I don't think he does anything elite. So that I have an issue with. If that's the case, then I go to Hunter. And at some point, there has to be something that is said about Hunter's dual threat ability. There has to be something special about it. There's a lot of people that are like, well, you can't do that in the NFL. Why not? Most guys can't do that in college. In fact, I don't think anybody can do that in college. Not the way Travis Hunter did. Travis Hunter said today, he's like, I'm one of one. That's why nobody's done that before, but I could do it. But I would draft Travis Hunter and I'd play him at receiver. Let's go to Cedric, who's up next here on the program. Cedric, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. And by the way, that's not a bad question. Simply because, like, what if the phone doesn't ring? What if the Giants actually do like Aaron Rodgers? I don't think they like Aaron Rodgers, but what if they do? What if they don't want the quarterback? What if the Raiders? What if the Jets? And you have to pick at one and Carter's off the board. I would then go with Travis Hunter. Go ahead, Cedric.
All right. So, first of all, Jared, do we know who the team doc was that diagnosed this stress reaction? I'd like to hear you talk about that and touch on that if you can. Secondly, man, and most importantly, dude, this is a terrible, terrible hamburger hill you're down on with this Randy Moss take here. If Randy Moss is a Titan, the whole trajectory of our franchise possibly changes. And Steve is better. Eddie's better. Our chances of winning back-to-back Super Bowls go up. And I get the whole what you're saying about the whole red flag thing. But let's not forget, man, Floyd Reese drafted Pac-Man Jones with red flags right at number six. Correct me if I'm wrong, dog.
And let me ask you, you think he regretted it? It's funny. I actually asked him one time. I said, what was the deal with Pac-Man? And he said, Pac-Man, and I actually looked this up. So Pac-Man's rap sheet before he was drafted, because let's remember, once you draft somebody, now you've already – was Pac-Man got in a bar fight in West Virginia when he was in college. That was Pac-Man's rep sheet before he got here, and it was the strip clubs and the money in Las Vegas and the shootings and the Big Daddy Gaddy and all the stuff Pac-Man got, spitting on people and all the stuff Pac-Man got himself into. And I said, what happened? Like, why'd you draft Pac-Man? And he said, well, he got in a bar fight in West Virginia. He hit a guy over the head with a pool cue. I asked him, why'd you hit the guy over the head with the pool cue? He said, he called me the N-word. Floyd said, well, I think that's probably worthy of getting hit over the head with a pool cue. Again, I don't know. Probably did regret taking Pac-Man, even though he was the one that called Marvin Lewis and said, give Pac-Man another chance. On the front of the doctors that discovered the stress reaction. So here's how this works. The combine medical is like the most extensive medical that any one of these players will ever go through, probably in their entire career. This is a world-class physical done at the hospital in Indianapolis in which every team doctor is there. So my guess is every team doctor has seen these scans of the foot themselves and has decided if it's a reaction or if it's a fracture. Now, my guess is as well, Abdul Carter will go back if he wants to. He will go back before the draft for what's called the recheck. They have a medical recheck where if there's something that, hey, you need to get this worked on, you go get it worked on, you come back, they do the same physical again, and they check it. But so the Titans doctors, they're not going to hear the news of what happened to Abdul Carter. They're going to have the actual scans that Abdul Carter's foot went out. In fact, they were probably in the room during the physical on Abdul Carter. So at least I do think there is an informed take there. One thing I really want to kind of get to the bottom of that I really would like to know is when it came to Julio Jones, because I had somebody who was in the league at the time told me that their doctors and their team laughed when the Titans acquired Julio Jones because they knew his hamstring was shredded. But I do wonder when it comes to Julio Jones, when it comes to Caleb Farley, when it comes to those decisions, Legarius Sneed. Are the doctors passing these guys, or are the doctors like, guys, it's not looking good, and the GM saying, I don't care? Because everybody's afraid of what happened with Nick Saban and Drew Brees, where Nick Saban wanted to sign Drew Brees in Miami, and the doctor said no, and the owner said, we can't do it if the doctors say no. And Randy Mueller, who was the general manager at the time, has come out and said that's exactly what happened. And I do wonder how many teams now let the football people overrule the medical staff. If I ran the team, the football people would never overrule the medical staff. Now, after a while, if, you know, our doctors flunk guys and they go somewhere else and they're good, we might go get new doctors. But I would not let my general manager overrule my doc as far as, you know, how likely the re-injury is or anything like that. The doc has got to be totally independent and has got to totally be, hey, shoot me straight, doc. That's like my own doctor. Like, when I go to the doctor, don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what's wrong with me or what's right with me. Let's go to Shane, who's up next here on our program. Shane, thank you for calling the show, and thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jared. I just wanted to call in, man. The Titans, what are we doing? Are we just a down franchise? We keep drafting injured people, getting signing free agents that are hurt. I mean, we need a sure thing. I like trading back and trying to get Travis Hunter. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think you're going to trade back and get Travis Hunter. I think if you want Travis Hunter, you have to take Travis Hunter.
Oh, so okay.
That's your option right there. Now, as far as the taking injured players, thank you for the call, Shane. Let's be very careful. Like, let's not get mad at the Titans for doing something that they haven't done. Like, I'm not mad at the Titans over Abdul Carter having a stress fracture, stress reaction, whatever you want to call it. I'm not upset at the Titans for Abdul Carter having a stress reaction in his foot. Again, my reaction when I found out the news that Abdul Carter had the stress reaction in his foot was, why? Oh, my God, why? Why? Not, oh, damn it, Titans! You know, whereas when Legarius Sneed was mysteriously out for the year after what was originally labeled as a helmet to the quad, I thought, damn it, Titans, I told you! You cannot take those knees! But Jared, it was a helmet to the quad. Can't be mad at the Titans for the whole season. By the way, the answer to that's no. It was the knee. But again, I digress. I'm not mad at the Titans. What I'm mad at when it comes to the Carter thing are the amount of people that are like, oh, pff, doesn't matter. I mean, like, I love TD. And I think TD is very smart. And I love TD with all my heart. But TD's like, I don't even think Carter needs to work out at the pro day. I'm like, excuse you? Like, he's got two injuries? He says, oh, no, they'll be fine. Trust me, they'll be fine. Talking about Carter. The foot will be fine. The shoulder will be fine. Show me. Go work out. Go work out and show me that those injuries are fine. I can't just say, oh, well, you know, it'll be fine. Again, think about the injury risks over the last 5 years. Well, no, let's make this, I can't even count the years. Since, like, the modern era of Titans, Corey Davis. Since then, Corey Davis, injury risk, did not run, did not work out at Combine, did not work out at Pro Day. I'd say that wasn't good enough for the fifth overall pick. And again, Corey Davis to me was a very average player with the fifth overall pick. That you find those things out when you don't test. Corey Davis, Julio Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, got to give him Simmons. He was hurt. Simmons. Caleb Farley. Legarius Sneed. And I'm sure there's some other guys that had some injuries in college that we're not thinking about, like Tajay Spears. And Tajay Spears kind of sucks. Like, but there's some other guys. That's Simmons and maybe Spears if you want to count Spears. Davis was the fifth overall pick. You wasted. Julio was a second and a fourth and $15 million in cash. You wasted. Farley was a first-round pick. You wasted. Legarius Sneed is $50 million in cash and a third-round pick. You've wasted. Is all that waste worth Simmons and, again, maybe Tajay Spears if you want to count it? And I would say no. And also, Will Levis was an injury risk. And they took him, and he's had injuries. One texter says, stick to your values, brother. I'm with you on that. Says, stick to your values, brother. Respect you. The GM is the GOAT. Microwave mentality has half the fan base dreaming. I will be hot if they draft an injured player, future Hall of Famer or not. Stop with guessing on players that have and have a consistent standard. That is how you build a winning franchise. Thank you. One texter says, real coaches and GMs know that there are sometimes you have to take a chance on talented players no matter what your standard is. That is how you win championships. The Rams went out and got the most talented players, no matter their rap sheet, and got a championship out of it. Which players on the Rams were like these controversial choices? Like, I don't... Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford. What am I missing there? But those players bought into the culture for the ultimate goal. I mean, look, I'll say this, and this is just a personal preference. And this is why when it comes to firing Andrew Burnett, I have no interest in Joel Quenneville to be the next coach of the Predators. But, like, to me, there are certain morals that, like, hey, man, I'd rather lose than win with Ray Lewis. I'd rather lose than win with Tyreek Hill. And that's just me. And that'll be that case. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Can't quite reach it to get a shot on, and that's going to do it. For the second time this year, the Predators knock off the best club in the NHL, the Winnipeg Jets. 2-1 is the final in this one.
You know, Pete Weber just said that like it was a good thing that the Predators won. That's a bad thing. There are three legit prospects, from what I've been told by Alex Doherty and Robbie yesterday, there are three legit prospects that are like number one caliber players. And the Predators, as of right now, have the third best odds to pick number one in the draft. But because it's the freaking lottery, there is no guarantee. And so you need to lose as much as possible so you can get one of these three players, and I'll be damned. They went out there and they beat Winnipeg. And so this is what's going to happen. UC Soros is going to turn into Superman. He's going to play great the rest of the season. They'll win a bunch of games. The Willie Donicks of the world will be happy about it, and they'll say, see?
I just got the first pick with the Sim Lottery. All good.
Well, but that is... if Soros doesn't steal a bunch of games down the stretch, like he's stolen the last two he's played.
Yeah. Soros getting into a rhythm. I wonder if he was a little too psyched up or nervous about that Four Nations.
I need the Islanders to kick their ass tomorrow. Like, I need the Islanders to just put it up the Predators tomorrow. As of right now, the Predators have a 9.4% chance of the number one pick. Don't have to have the number one pick, but you have to have one of the top three. And so when it comes to the Predators winning last night, I'd say that was a bad thing. Chad Withrow joins us next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.